This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Vayira. We're going to open up that parsha by introducing the four languages of Geula, where Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem that I'm Hashem. Votzeiti v'itzalti v'galti v'lakachti eschem li la'am v'ayisi lachem l'elokim. I will take you as a nation, and you will be. I will be a God for you. Now the people were able to listen and hear Aaron until now, and now all of a sudden, lo shamu amosha mikotze ruach umei avodah kasha. Now they weren't able to. What changed? Rabbi Yashiv explained that when Moshe Rabbeinu came with a message of obligation, then all of a sudden, obligations, it became too hard for them to listen. And that's what we're told, v'lo shamu amosha. They didn't listen to Moshe, mikotze ruach umei avodah kasha. They didn't hear Moshe because of their shortness of spirit and their hard work. What was missing from their emunah that created this inability to listen? So Rav Ruderman Zatzal, the Rashiba Baltimore, explained that Paro only believed in an Elohim that the Zohar refers to as Teva or nature. But when Moshe used the new attribute of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Havaya, Paro refused to recognize that name. Rav Ruderman added that this was the issue here too. Paro had so broken the Jewish people that they could only consider Teva and the idea of something and someone above its rules was beyond their comprehension due to their shallowness as a result of the hard work and the broken spirit. That was the concern. So, still notwithstanding, Hashem tells Moshe, Atot tedaber yizko asher atzaveka, you're going to say everything that I command. V'aron achicha yedaber al Paro, and Paro will go ahead and speak, Aaron will speak to Paro. Now, Rashi explains that what this pasuk means is that each time Hashem gave Moshe a message to transmit to Paro, Moshe would relate it once, and then Aaron would repeat it in a way that Paro would be able to understand. The Ramban, on the other hand, learns that Moshe would not say it in front of Paro at all. Rather, he would tell it to Aaron, who would then transmit the message to Paro. So again, according to Rashi, what was the purpose of Moshe Rabbeinu coming along and saying each nevuah one time if Paro was only going to understand it from Aaron? Ramosha Tursky, Hashem Yinkon Damo, opined that Hashem needed to be involved in the entirety of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that included the warnings. And so if only Aaron would have sounded the warnings of each Makkah, that would be a mechanism of shlichas, of agency. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the one who served as the mouthpiece, Kaviyachol, of the Shekhinah, had to say each warning to Paro at least once. That way it was a full manifestation of Hashem himself talking to Klal Yisrael and taking Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. You know, a good chunk of the parsha talks about the makos, first 7 of 10. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos notes that there were 10 makos that were done for our forefathers in Mitzrayim, 10 nisim. Rabbi Lau, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, former chief rabbi of the state of Israel, notes that this seems somewhat odd. The nisim were done to the Mitzrayim, not to the Avosenu. And why are we calling them nisim? They should be called makos. So Rabbi Lau explains that miracles are things that bring one to a better awareness of Hashem's presence in the world. And so although the miracle happened to the Mitzrayim and it happened to be a Makkah, the ones who seemed to get the message were the Jewish people. That's the way it goes. And included in those Makos were Dam and Tzfardea, and we're told, Batal HaTzfardea, when Aaron raised his hand over the waters of Mitzrayim, the frog infestation arose and covered the land of Mitzrayim, and Rashi notes that it began with a single frog. And the Mitzrayim hid it until swarms sprung forth and covered the land. Now in 1986, Rapam recognized that the splintered groups of terrorists from the PLO were going to grow in number with retaliatory attacks to them. And he added that terrorism seems to grow with every single military response to it. And so Rapam noted that despite the need to combat terror, the best way to end it is to do what Moshe and Aaron did in order to end the terror epidemic in Mitzrayim, and that is to daven. And so we can never, ever forget that the most important weapon that we have against the terrible situation that we find ourselves in is to daven. That's our responsibility. We're told, Derech Shloshes Yamim Nelech Bamidbar, at the end of one of the Makos, Paro says, okay, you know, go. You know, stay here and make your holiday here. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, we're going into the desert for 3 days. And why was Moshe allowed to lie to Paro? So Rav Shecha used to tell us that giving a slave his religion is the same thing as giving him his freedom. When you have a religion, you finally have freedom. And that's why we note that Hashem wants us to be his servants, right? He wants us to be Avdei Hashem v'lo avadim l'avadim. who wants us to be his servant and not servants to other servants, the rest of the world, of course, being subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the end of the parsha, we read about Makas Barad, and in the Makas Barad, we're told Hayarius Devar Hashem Me'avdei Paro. Somebody feared the word of Hashem from the servants of Paro, so he brought his animals back into the house. Now, how could the concept of fearing Hashem enter the discussion when we're speaking about Egyptians? Fearing of Hashem should have made them change their minds, which is something that wouldn't happen for another three Makos. So the Stipler explains that Yiras Shamayim is not an intellectual concept. One can see proof that there's a Hashem and come up with all sorts of alternative explanations for the proof. No, true Yiras Shamayim is the desire to see the obvious. Rav Pervaisky adds that this is why Jewish survival in Gullus, a concept that clearly proves Kilo Yitosh Hashem Amo, that Hashem doesn't forsake us, is not widely seen by humanity as a proof to the fact that there's Hashem and a calling to be close to Him. We have a responsibility to understand that that there's Hashem, and we have a chance to see it in the science and the nature, and then all of a sudden we start worshiping the science and the nature. We have other things to go ahead and do and make ourselves pure within the process. And finally, in the Haftorah, which comes from Yechezkel, we're told to be different than Paro, who Asher Amar Li Ori Vani Asisini. He said that the Nile is mine and I made it. Rav Aaron Cutler used to note that Paro, who is not a fool, he was actually quite an intelligent and wise man, was done in by his gaiva, by his haughtiness and wickedness, that led him to believe his own hype that he was a god. Rav Aaron used to say that minus, or heresy, is built on foolishness. And the Baal Gaiva believes his own haughtiness, and that leads him to make obvious mistakes in his own thinking. And this type of error has brought down many world dominators, from Paro to Nebuchadnezzar to Hiram Melech Tzor, and has taken their god complexes and turned them into subpar mortals. And the same can be found in modern times. It's not simply a difference of idea. It's an error in one's intelligence. We have a lot to learn in our own intelligence and to make sure that we don't rely too much on ourselves and our own haughtiness so that we can get to the point where we recognize that our ultimate weapon and our ultimate safety comes when we are standing under the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His will for us, and we should serve Him with truth. Be'ezus Hashem, will figure that out when we meet again, and until that point, everyone have a Shabbat Shalom to all.